This is Bob Proctor with session number 3 of the Lead the Field Seminar, A Worthy Destination. Earl began by saying, "It's almost impossible to pick up a daily paper without reading about a person who has achieved some unusual accomplishment. And almost invariably, these stories include the overcoming of what at one time appeared to be virtually insurmountable handicaps. A boy whose legs were terribly burned, who seemed destined to a life as a cripple, becomes one of the world's outstanding track stars. A poor boy amasses a fortune. A woman blind and deaf from birth becomes one of the most inspirational personalities of all time. Every day, a new and dramatic story appears somewhere. Obstacles overcome, outstanding success achieved. They're too numerous to mention. But how and why? These people do far more than the unhandicapped to overcome obstacles that seem insurmountable and achieve the success they seek. Why? The answer, if fully understood, will bring you and me anything we really want. And it's deceptively simple. These people have goals. That is, they fix in their mind a point they have to reach. Something more important than the effort and time that have to be expended in its achievement. A dream seen only in the mind and felt in the heart. That's too big to be denied. A dream which rises before their eyes when they awaken in the morning and is the last thing they think about as they drop off to sleep at night. This dream, invisible to all the world, except to the person who holds it, is responsible for perhaps every great advance of man. It's the prime cause of much of what we see in the world around us. Everything worthwhile achieved by man is a dream come true, a goal reached. It has been said that what the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. It's the skyscraper, the bridge spanning the bay, landing on the moon. And it's the little corner business establishment. It's the lovely home in the suburbs. It's a youngster getting a diploma and the new baby in the mother's arms. It's a low golf handicap and a business position reached. What the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Do you know what this means to you and me? Well, let me try to explain. And I might add, it took me many years to find this out for myself. Once it's understood, however, life becomes easier, more fun, far more exciting, and incalculably more rewarding. To begin to understand this subject of goals, we have to realize that it's the very basis of our success. It is, in fact, the very definition of success. The best definition of success I've ever been able to find goes like this. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. If you'll think for a moment, you'll realize just how good that definition is. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. It means that every person regularly engaged in achieving something which he or she considers worthy of him or her is successful. At the same time, it also means that any person not so engaged must be defined as not successful, a failure, at least temporarily. Any person with a dream in his mind and heart, which he is pursuing as a worthy goal, is successful. The uninformed always seem to equate success with lots of money. While money often accompanies success, it has nothing to do with success necessarily, unless it happens to be a part of the goal. It's left to each of us to decide for himself what the goal is. With such a simple definition of success, you'd think everyone would be successful. Everyone should be. Everyone can be. But it's estimated that only about 3% are. Of all the people you pass on the street, only about 3 out of 100 can tell you what they're working toward. The rest are just drifting along, hoping something good will happen to them, or at least that nothing too bad will, letting circumstances and economic winds blow them this way and that. Well, I'll never forget the first time I heard this message. It really caused me to stop and take a look at myself and where I was going. And I have found to truly understand why there's such a ridiculously small number of people who take the time to sit down, decide what they want, and establish it as their goal, you'll have to go back and revisit the idea of paradigms. Paradigms can have a tremendous influence over our thinking and, if permitted, will cause an individual to think of all the valid reasons why they are not able to have what they want in life. The diagrams that we show you in the management guide, which illustrates the conscious mind gathering information through the senses, you know, you can see, you hear, smell, taste, and touch, explain how the sensory factors are hooked up to your conscious mind like little antennae. Information pours into our conscious mind through these sensory factors. The conscious mind is often referred to as the intellectual mind. Now, as information flows into our conscious mind, we deal with it intellectually. Your intellectual involvement, along with the role your intellectual factors play, is going to be dealt with in another segment of this program. But for now, it's very common to find individuals who are intellectually brilliant and yet accomplish little with their lives. Their day-to-day actions produce mediocre results. In situations like this, you must understand that it is not the intellect of the individual that is the cause of their behavior. It is their paradigm which is in control of their behavior. Until the paradigm is changed, the results will remain the same. Now think for a second. We can have beautiful ideas, creative concepts, valuable information flowing through our senses into our consciousness. We can gather this information, we can even repeat it. That doesn't mean we're going to act on it. The old paradigm controls the action. The paradigm's in the subconscious mind. All this beautiful information that we're gathering is in the conscious mind. Virtually every person knows how to do much better than they're presently doing in almost every aspect of their life. There's an enormous difference between knowing how to do something and doing it. The knowing has to do with the conscious mind. The doing has to do with the subconscious. Unfortunately, our educational system has been conditioned to believe that the knowing is all important. We are, in fact, rewarded and recognized with degrees and diplomas to hang on the wall for being able to repeat information we've gathered. You very likely know most of the information that Earl Nightingale has shared with you in The Magic Word. That does not necessarily mean that you do everything Earl Nightingale suggested in The Magic Word. One of the great secrets of success, which is also the purpose of the Lead the Field seminar, is to help you understand how to integrate the valuable information that you have with your behavior. That's another way of saying you are changing your paradigm. Let's go back to what Earl was saying. He said, "I like to compare human beings with ships, as Carlyle used to do. It is estimated that about 95% can be compared to ships without rudders. Subject to every shift of wind and tide, they're helplessly adrift. And while they fondly hope that they'll one day drift into a rich and successful port, you and I know that for every narrow harbor entrance, there is 1,000 miles of rocky coastline. The chances against their drifting into port are 1,000 to 1. But the 5% who have taken the time and exercised the discipline to decide on a destination and to chart a course sail straight and far across the deep oceans of life, reaching one port after another and accomplishing more in just a few years than the rest accomplish in a lifetime. If you should visit a ship and ask the captain his next port of call, he'll answer you in one sentence, even though the captain of the ship cannot see his destination for fully 99% of his journey. He knows what it is, where it is, and that barring any unforeseen and highly unlikely catastrophe, he'll reach it if he keeps doing certain things a certain way every day. Every person should do the same thing. Unless you can say in one concise sentence what your goal is, the chances are good that you've never clearly defined your goal. When you ask most people what it is they seek, they'll answer in vague, general, nonspecific terms. They'll say happiness or health or money. These are not goals. They're simply general conditions desired by everyone. When we talk of goals, let's be specific. What is it you want, you as a person? What is it you would like very much to have or be or do? even though you may feel it is, for one reason or another, somewhat beyond your reach at this present time. You see, if you can tell me what you want, I can show you how to get it, as long as it's worthy of you. The first time I heard Earl Nightingale make that statement, if you can tell me what you want, I can tell you how to get it, he truly caught my attention. That was in 1961. I clearly remember thinking to myself, if this man knows what he's talking about, I've really got my hands on something. Today, many years later, I can tell you with the same confidence that Earl had when he made that statement, if you can tell me what you want, I can definitely show you how to get it. And I plan to add a new dimension to this statement. I want to help you decide what it is you want. To do this, I would like you mentally to go back to the lesson, Greener Pastures, when I indicated that the first phase of the creative process in setting and achieving any goal is fantasy. Walt Disney, Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, Henry Ford, William Lear, Buckminster Fuller, all had highly evolved imaginations. Their imagination was highly evolved because they never stopped exercising it. Imagination is an intellectual factor of the human personality. It is a mental muscle. Since the body is the physical manifestation of the mind is subject to the same laws as the body. Whatever you exercise, you strengthen. What is not exercised becomes lethargic. Little children exercise their imagination constantly. However, when they start school, this is called daydreaming or not paying attention and is definitely discouraged. It is little wonder we have large corporations with small creative departments. We must remember, everyone is creative. The individuals I just mentioned had no difficulty stepping out of the box, free of their paradigms, letting their mind wander to a place it had never before traveled. They would fantasize, building beautiful images in their mind of what they wanted to be, to do, to have. And if you're going to enjoy a fulfilled life, this is something you must do. Although the creative individuals, whom I have just mentioned, have all passed on and have left us, there are certainly many great examples who are equally as powerful. Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup for the Soul fame is without question the most effective person with whom I am familiar at building fantasies and then turning them into results. With 60 million chicken soup books sold and the number growing daily, no one would argue with his expertise in this area. As you begin this creative process, it is very important that you give all of your mental energy to building the image of the good that you desire, and the image must be in the present tense. See yourself already in possession of whatever it is you want. When you are fantasizing, do not give one speck of mental energy to how this goal is going to be accomplished. Do not concern yourself with where the money, the time, the assistance that you may require is going to come from. How the fantasy will manifest in form has nothing to do with building the fantasy. Attempting to think of how will either limit or destroy the fantasy. Yet it's right here where most people ruin their chance for great accomplishment. How it's going to manifest is not your responsibility. What is going to be manifested definitely is. The only important point for you to consider when you are fantasizing is that you can clearly see, and in detail, on the screen of your mind, yourself already in the possession of the good that you desire. Now let's return to Earl's words. He said, proceeding successfully through a lifetime should be a matter of progressively setting and achieving goals, one after another, each a little better and perhaps more interesting than the last one. Just as a ship can sail to only one port at a time, set your first port a call. When you reach it, and reach it you will, you can set a new goal, and then another. By following this meaningful and common sense approach to life, you'll be successful and accomplish more in 5 years than the great majority of people do in a lifetime. Now let me tell you of a way to clarify your thinking and establish your first goal if you don't already have one. Knowing that without a goal we are unsuccessful, but that with a goal we will have direction and purpose, and that our goal will be reached, we begin to realize that establishing a clearly defined goal is one of the most important steps we can possibly take. If you do not know what it is you want more than anything else, in other words, if you're not one of the fortunate few who know exactly what it is he or she seeks, set some time aside right now. Spend an hour or so, or many hours, even days if necessary, writing down the things you would most like to have. Make a want list. This could include a more beautiful home, a new car, a wanted child, a certain amount of money, a better job, better grades, a particular position in your school or organization. Any one of 100 things. Write down as many as you can think of. If you're married, it's a good idea to do this with your spouse. When you have written down all the things you want, all of them, choose one, only one, that you want more than all of the others. Write this on a separate sheet or draw a circle around it. Now put the sheet away and forget about all of the ideas except the one you've decided to accomplish first. Do you know that when I first heard Lead the Field, that was probably one of the most difficult things I ever had attempted to do. And yet, without question, it was the most valuable. You're now at the point where I want to suggest that you sit back, totally relax, and let your mind wander. Build an image of what you want. Clearly understand that at this stage, it is merely a fantasy. Now, there's space in your management guide where you can make a list of all the things you want. Take the time to sit down and write them out. And when you've decided on the one you want, you'll find a space in your management guide where it starts off by saying, "I am so happy and grateful now that." And I want to suggest that you write out that one you wanted more than anything else in the present tense. This is what you want, and mentally, you've already got it. Now let's continue with Earl, where he said, "Like a ship, a person can reach only one port at a time. Most of the confusion and indecision suffered by the majority of people is caused by their half-heartedly wanting so many things that they can't decide which to go after first. As a result, they run in circles and often accomplish little or nothing at all. Remember, as a rule, you can achieve only one goal at a time. Once you've decided upon the goal you first intend to reach, write it out, put it on a card, and carry it with you. Think about it the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. Think about it as often during the day as you can. By doing this, you'll be depositing your goal into the treasury of your subconscious mind, from which will come the answers as you need them for its accomplishment. This is the process used by the world's successful men and women." It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, do you want to know something? It is simple. It's the old paradigm that's causing our problem. Do you know, fantasizing is certainly a lot of fun, and it's where you begin the creative process with respect to improving the quality of your life. It's a known fact that fantasy is where most ideas begin and end. To turn your fantasy into a goal, the next phase is for you to move it to a theory. To take an idea from a fantasy to a theory state, there are two questions that must be answered with a resounding yes. Am I able? Am I willing? Listen. Number one, am I able? Number two, am I willing? Taking these questions one at a time, you have to ask yourself, am I able to receive in my material world anything I seriously want? If you're not already able to say yes to that first question, you certainly will be before you finish this program. It was Napoleon Hill who stated that you will not seriously want something you're not capable of achieving. Now, the second question you must answer is, am I willing? Am I willing to pay the price that must be paid, realizing that there is no such thing as something for nothing and that nature abhors a vacuum? We must create a space for the good we desire. Everyone's life is full at all times. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is it full of? Before you can do something, you must stop whatever it is you're doing. H.L. Hunt said that achieving success was not difficult. There are simple steps to follow. Decide what you want. Decide what you're prepared to give up to get it. Now, if you have thought this through and you are prepared to pay the price, then your fantasy has, at that point, become a theory. It may remain a fantasy in everyone else's mind, but it will be no such thing in your mind. The instant your fantasy becomes a theory, it begins to move into physical form in your life. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to visualize this fantasy as a hologram right in front of you. You're looking straight out in front of you. If you're driving a car, you can see it right through the windshield. If you're sitting in a chair, it's floating right in the center of the room. You see the fantasy. Now, I want you to see an arrow shooting up to the right, and I want you to see it again. Now, it's turned into a theory, and the second you say, yes, I'm willing to pay the price, it becomes a goal and begins to move into physical form. Now your fantasy is a theory and qualifies as a goal, and as such should be given the attention all worthy goals deserve. This leads us back to Earl Nightingale. Earl said, "Think about your goal as often as you can. Get a mental image of it as already having been accomplished, but be sure to be absolutely specific. Don't generalize. If your goal is a certain amount of money, write down the exact amount and the time limit for earning it. If your goal is a beautiful home, get a picture of the exact home. Even if you have to pay an architect to draw the plans for you, you might as well, because you will achieve it. Be very careful on what you set your mind and heart, for if you want it strongly enough, you'll get it. I spent more than 16 years looking for the so-called secret of success. I wanted to know what element or elements separate the haves from the have-nots, not just in a financial sense, although that's certainly an important part of living, but in every sense. I started looking for the answer in 1933, during the Depression, and I didn't find it until New Year's Day of 1950. All of a sudden, I realized that in the hundreds of lives I had studied, in the countless books I had read, a plain and simple fact had been staring me in the face all along, and it is simply that we become what we think about. You see, you are, at this moment, nothing more than the sum total of your thoughts to this point. Similarly, you'll be next year, 5 years from now, and so on, what you think about from this point onward. That's why establishing a goal is vital to success. Unless we're thinking about the thing we wish to accomplish, our thinking is erratic, confused, jumping from one thing to another, with the result that we accomplish nothing, arrive nowhere, travel in circles. By thinking every morning, every night, and as many times during the day as we can about the single goal we've established for ourselves, we actually begin moving toward it and bringing it towards us. When we concentrate on our thinking, it's like taking a river that's twisting and turning and meandering all over the countryside and putting it in a straight and smooth channel. Now it has power, direction, economy, and speed. It's the same with our mind. When Earl Nightingale suggested that we actually begin moving toward our goal, bringing it towards us, that's exactly what happens. And I'd like you to understand how it happens. Begin by understanding that your mind is movement and your body is the physical manifestation of that movement. Now, we will explore the mind and the laws which govern the mind in another lesson. For the purpose of this lesson, we want to focus on one law, the law of vibration. The law of vibration decrees that nothing rests. Everything is in a constant state of movement. Your physical body is a mass of molecules in a high state of vibration. It is moving so fast, it appears to be still. The truth is, it is casting off and recreating millions of cells per second. Your body vibrates so fast it glows. The Russian photographer, Semyon Kurlian, perfected Kurlian photography back in the 30s. The energy from your body is so potent, it will penetrate the camera, penetrate the film, and you can actually photograph it. As you alter the images in your mind, the density and the color of energy being expressed from the body changes. Every cell of your body has a positive and a negative pole. The image in your mind will dictate the vibration that you are in at any given time. And, of course, as the image changes, the vibration changes. Negative image, negative vibration. Positive image, positive vibration. Holding an image in your conscious mind has no effect on your life. However, when the image you are holding is turned over to your subconscious mind, your whole world will begin to change. Now, we've graphically communicated this concept in your management guide. But what actually happens? The conscious mind impresses the image upon the subconscious mind. So visualize yourself doing this. Remember we said the conscious mind was, let's say, the top half of your head. The bottom was the subconscious mind. Now, as we pointed out, that's not really the way it is, but it's an image to work with. Well, we've got the image in our conscious mind, and we impress the image upon our subconscious mind. Whatever's impressed must be expressed. The subconscious mind expresses itself through its polar opposite, the physical body. You see, in emotion, this emotion alters the vibration of the mind-body. Vibration, on a conscious level, is referred to as feeling. The vibration expresses itself in action. Your body literally moves into action. Every action sets up an equal and opposite reaction. Then, when you take into consideration that there is an attractive force at work in the universe, and the only thing you can attract to you is energy that vibrates in harmony with you, if you're in a negative vibration, you definitely will not attract positive people or situations into your life. They will, in fact, be repelled. However, if you are in a positive vibration, then everything of a like nature moves in your direction. As we proceed through the various lessons in this program, we'll elaborate on this magnificent, orderly process that is referred to as life. But if we go back and think now of our fantasy, we've turned it into a theory. Now we've taken that theory, turned it into a goal. It's in our conscious mind. That's an image of exactly, remember, Earl said, make it specific. So we've got a specific image in our conscious mind, and we're impressing it now upon our heart. You see, the subconscious mind is where the heart is resident. The heart is not the physical pump in your chest. The heart is what the early Greeks referred to when they referred to it as the subconscious mind. Now, this is all graphically illustrated in your management guide, but you can get this picture as I'm talking to you. So you see yourself impressing this picture upon your subjective mind. It instantly begins moving you in the right direction and attracting everything you need to you. That's by law. You see, your image is literally moving into form with and through you. The first law of the universe is the transmutation of energy. What do we mean by that? Energy's forever moving into form, through form, and back into form. You ever watch the trees in the spring? The buds come out, the leaves come out, the leaves fall off, the trees bare. In the spring, the buds come out, the leaves come out. It's energy moving into form, through form, and back into form. Well, we've got the image in our mind, and it's moving into form with and through us. Andrew Carnegie gave Napoleon Hill some excellent advice. He said that any idea held in the mind that was emphasized, that's either feared or revered, begins at once to clothe itself in the most convenient and appropriate physical form that's available. You should think about that for a little while, because if it's a negative picture you're holding, are you worried? Are you afraid of something happening? That's the goal. You see, the theory moves into physical form, and the experience you have of taking pure, unadulterated energy, building a fantasy, turning it into a theory, planting the image then in your heart, causes it to move into physical form. Observing the good that you have done, you have raised your level of conscious awareness, which takes you right back to the first stage of the creative process. Only now you are better equipped to build a bigger and a more beautiful, more effective fantasy. You know, Buddha one time said that our work is to find our work and then give our heart to it. Once you move ahead, once you've got this experience, you've grown as a human being. You will never go back. You see, you will collect rewards on this new awareness forever. I believe it was just yesterday I saw an advertisement where it said, the chicken cannot go back in the egg. Well, just as the chicken is not able to go back in the shell, you're not able to go back. As we experience this new awareness, we keep moving in the right direction. Now let's continue with Earl's words. He said, once we know where we're going, we know why we get out of bed in the morning. We know why we're working and why it's important to do the very best work of which we are capable. We know why it's vital that we cut ourselves away from the big, sluggish river of people who are drifting without purpose and cut the channel straight and clear to the number one dream in our heart. Some evening, during the rush hour, stand at a busy street corner and watch the passing crowd. Observe how they walk. Look at their faces. Do they seem interested, happy, purposeful, interesting? Or do they seem, for the most part, dull, uninterested, bored? If you watch long enough, you'll see a person with a quick and purposeful step, a good carriage and posture, with interesting, intelligent eyes, who walks as though he or she knows exactly where they're going and who is going to insist on getting there. They're a person with a goal, a dream in their mind and heart. Several million human beings on earth would give anything they have for the freedom and personal liberty you and I take for granted. To have the right to choose their work and their goals, to enjoy our bountiful standard of living, to know the peace and privacy of our homes, and to have laws which protect the citizen rather than persecute him. We have it all, and yet, in the midst of our plenty, millions lead unhappy, aimless lives, living from day to day, month to month, confused, dispirited, in a prison of their own manufacture. These are the people who have never made the decision that could set them free. They have not decided what to do with their lives, even in our climate of freedom. As Carlyle said, the man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given you. Isn't that beautiful information? Do you know, these lessons in this Lead the Field seminar are extraordinary. It's some of the best information you're ever going to find anywhere. An individual who's not emotionally involved with something they seriously want becomes a plaything for outside forces. Whatever ideas happen to be in the environment they're in end up dictating the mental state the person's in. So as Carlyle said, they do bounce around on the ocean of life like a ship without a rudder. The most important thing you can do for yourself and your loved ones is to take the time to decide what you're prepared to trade your life for. Let's visualize this stick person concept again. Let's understand that there's ideas floating around us and we can just pluck them out of the ether, just like a little child fishing in a stocked pond. We can choose any idea we want. We can build any idea we want. We can take and build our life into whatever we'd like to build it into. And once again, Earl Nightingale is quoting Carlyle by saying, a man with a half volition goes backward and forward and makes no way on the smoothest road. A man with a whole volition advances on the roughest and will reach his purpose if there be even a little wisdom in it. And Munger said, there is no road to success but through a clear, strong purpose. Nothing can take its place. A purpose underlies character, culture, position, attainment of every sort. So decide on your goal. Insist upon it. Look at your goal card every morning, every night, and as many times during the day as you can. Force your goal into your subconscious mind. See yourself as having attained it. Do this without fail every day, and it will become a habit. A habit that will lead you from one success to another all the days of your life. For this is the secret of success. The door to everything you will ever have or be. You are now, and you will become what you think about.